This entire season of Retronauts is fully funded by listeners like you thanks to Patreon. If you'd like to find out how you can help and get episodes a week in advance, head on over to patreon.com/retronauts. Thanks and enjoy the show. So nice to see you. Welcome back to my holiday cabin in Parts Unknown for this year's Retronauts Holiday Special. Now, longtime listeners to this podcast may remember, we have kind of a wolf problem around these parts. But thanks to our Patreon campaign, I've been able to purchase and install several expensive, very, very expensive sentry guns, and I put them all around the perimeter. So if you listen carefully... Aha, there it goes. Actually, I've got some friends on their way over here, and I probably should have told them to not move or look like wolves in any way. You see, the AI on those guns gets kind of out of whack sometimes, and I'll just say it's clipped a few mailmen. Yeah, I'm gonna be spending a lot of time in court next year. Oh, it sounds like our guests have made it through what panic meteorologists are calling the storm of the century. I'm no weather science guy, but I'm pretty sure it's gonna clear up in the next 90 minutes.
Alright guys, come on in. Nice to see you again. Happy Christmas? Holidays? What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Chanukah, Kwanzaa, yeah. All that good stuff.
Festivus. So, let's talk about who's here today. Ooh. Welcome.
Chili Ray Barnhold.
Yeah, who else do we have?
I was going to do the alliterative Chili Chris Antista. Now I can't. Chris Antista, Chris Cold Antista. Captain Cold.
Yeah,
Captain
that's Cold. More alliterative.
Got it. And who else do we have in the Holiday Cabin studio today?
Jeremy Vanilla Ice Parrish.
Vanilla Ice.
That's actually what I'm drinking.
I'm white and cold.
And vanilla, doesn't that mean bland, Jeremy? Do you really want to sally yourself with that?
Vanilla is not bland. No, vanilla is a delicious flavor.
I love vanilla, and my girlfriend makes fun of me for always getting vanilla ice cream instead of like some kind of crazy concoction.
Bland can be your brand.
Yeah.
But vanilla ice cream, you have to consider it like it's bread. Everything else you put on it makes it a sandwich.
That's true.
You don't want chocolate bread.
If it's good vanilla ice cream, it's worth eating on its own.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many kinds of vanilla. But what are we here today to talk about? Well, I've gotten a lot of requests to do another movie episode. We did maybe like six of them at the 1UP Retronauts. We did a ton of great, bad video game movies.
Yeah.
And so I think this would be our Christmas present to our listeners to do another movie episode. And the movie I've selected for this episode is 2009 Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li, a cinematic masterpiece that will never go forgotten and will never be found free on YouTube because...
Oh, no, not at all.
No, because people want to protect that copyright.
Is it free on YouTube?
I was told... Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Ray
someone nodded their head.
Ray is incriminating himself.
But it's not your fault.
No,
it is.
No.
Ray didn't upload it personally.
Let me write that down.
I think it was the director. He's like, somebody watch this.
It's a good rule of thumb. YouTube just thinks it's a Let's Play.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a long play of Chun-Li's story in Street Fighter 2.
You're not too far off because, like, you know, it's a good rule of thumb. If you want to find a bad video game movie, it's probably on YouTube. Not even the bad ones.
That is pretty nuts. I don't know. I don't want to derail everything. Someone just told me there's a really awesome documentary on the UK Super Mario Brothers Blu-ray about the making of the film.
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
A very well-produced one, and Americans can't watch it except for...
We'll see.
That's another movie that's free on YouTube, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, when I did it, it was free on YouTube. When I did the episode, and it's still free like 3 years later, so no one cares.
I've also watched the Japanese dub of that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Wow. I want to know what the casting choices were like. Did they try to find someone that could, you know, match the performance of John Leguizamo?
It was pretty standard.
The timeless Luigi that we all remember without a mustache?
As an Italian person, I'm offended that one of my people couldn't have been cast as an Italian pair of plumbers. We had an Irishman and a Hispanic gentleman.
We've come a long way since 1993, Chris.
Okay, I hope so.
Early, like 10, 20 years ago, you wouldn't be welcome here. But now, we have to let you in.
So John Leguizamo is not Italian?
No.
Based on the name, it just sounds very Mediterranean.
No, he's Hispanic, but yes, I've been told as an Italian, I'm honorary white now, so there's no point in me distinguishing myself as another culture.
Yeah. Welcome to the club, Chris.
It feels great.
You're a swarthier shade of pale.
So, Let's talk about Street this Fighter. Movie. Should we reveal like Chris's secret origins?
Oh yeah, I did work from 2012 to 2014. I worked at Capcom, USA.
This movie came out in 2009. I just want to say Chris is not responsible.
No,
don't send him your death threats. I know that's pretty popular these days.
No,
but
he played Fei Long.
I did. I was cut.
Which is, you know, not even the worst casting choice.
I was cut. I put on my hammer pants. I worked out for about a week. It was pretty sloppy. Yeah. If you have a hairy stomach instead of a six pack, you're not going to make a good.
I got to say the CGI they did was amazing. Probably better than anything Peter Jackson could have put together.
But I meant to rewatch this. I didn't have time. But I've watched it like four times.
Oh yeah,
we did a ton of work with it.
That's exactly four times too many.
I know, but we were doing silly stuff. There's an old Games Radar piece and an accompanying podcast where you just play clips of it to laugh at it constantly, but. As a testament to how weird it is, I worked at Capcom from 2012 to 2014, and I never heard anybody once mention it. Mm-hmm. Not once. I've heard a lot of, mistakes, wish you would have done that. This could have been better. You hear a lot of that, right. But no one ever mentioned it. I think it may have hurt somebody.
I think so, because I don't think the Capcom logo was on the first Street Fighter movie. But
it wasn't.
When you start playing this movie... It's
on the back of the box. It's in the credits.
Yeah, it's like Capcom presents, like you're starting up a video game.
That's kind of how they do it with like the Resident Evil movies and stuff too, isn't it? I mean, that's just kind of their branding.
Yeah, good point. I don't know.
I want to say
I haven't actually seen the Resident Evil movies.
Oh,
I'm leaping to a conclusion.
Let me fill you in. They were the worst movies ever made
by the worst director ever.
They are disgusting. Right. That feels so good to say.
Are there like eight of them now?
There are, I think, five, and.
That's closer to eight than it should be.
They're five. Yeah. They're five and a sixth and last one coming, and it's supposedly a TV series on the way. And I think they are the worst movies.
You know, they're probably looking at the Avengers like everyone else and thinking, how can we build a cinematic universe around Resident Evil?
I cannot. I don't want to go off on it. This is a mini episode, right?
It's a full episode.
You have 90 minutes.
The idea that like Paul W.S. Anderson is contrary to popular belief. Actually the worst director ever of all time. Yeah. These are big budget films with tons of – like with billions of dollars of special effects, yet there are continuity errors everywhere. Like really like bumbly.
Yeah, it's like
– I don't want to curse.
Boom mics are flying around.
It's the equivalent of that. Like why did Wesker just walk out of the wrong – and then walk in on the wrong side? Oh, he can teleport. You didn't even show it. I cannot stand these movies, and I've seen most of them. But
I thought Wesker could teleport. He's like got Matrix powers now.
He's hilarious.
Did they add that in just to cover up some of the continuity?
That guy is the worst, and he just keeps being allowed to make these movies. And then I didn't see the latest movie, but he ignores the continuity of the games, which is fine. I understand it's a different medium, but then it's ridiculous already.
The lore,
but then when he wants to, he'll just cherry pick. Certain elements from the game and present them as a carbon copy. Mm-hmm. Ada Wong and the Executioner in their latest movie, because those don't have anything to do with this plot or the plot of the games, but they're just in the movie presented as carbon copies of things in the game.
I feel like all the Resident Evil movies were like diehard spec scripts.
Yeah.
Because like with this, like zombies instead of...
That was the joke I was waiting to pull. Like
For this movie, right?
No. Okay. For the Legend of Chun-Li, it reeks of a Die Hard 2 script.
Ooh, okay.
It does not seem like a Street Fighter movie at all, but like Die Hard 2, Ocean's Eleven 2, those were all screenplays that John McClane and the Ocean's people were squeezed into.
I feel like is a script that was written.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not good at speaking. I don't know why.
Was that Die Hard 2? I know the most recent two Die Hards were that way.
I think With a Vengeance maybe 2 was just a buddy cop movie and John McClane got added into it. But the Chun-Li movie does not make sense.
It doesn't.
If you're starting out making a Street Fighter movie, well, how many characters does this glorious IP have? About 70. Let's use four.
Let's make up a new female character to play the role of Chun-Li.
Before we get started digging into the movie, I just want to go over a few like details. Mm-hmm. Sorry to derail this, but I do want to talk about where this movie came from, who's making it, like when it happened, because most of you probably don't remember it. I'm sure it was in theaters for a week.
I saw it in the theater.
Ray saw
Did
it
you
in
really?
The theater.
Yes.
How many people were
in? Was that something you had to do for 1UP, or was it just a streak of masochism?
No, I saw it on release day with Alice and Tina from 1UP, because I lived with them at the time, and so we went to see it, and we did drink a bit. We pre-gamed it, so... You know,
I mean, when Tina's involved, it's just bad ideas all around.
Okay, your word's not mine, but
that's what I love about her.
Yeah, so it was an unofficial 1UP outing. You could tell.
I see. But so, Ray, was it just you guys in the theater?
No, no. There were some people scattered around there.
Other drunk people?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who else was
there. There was an usher.
This movie came out in 2009 at the height of, I think, Street Fighter's renaissance, whatever you want to call it. Like, Street Fighter 4 had come out in 2007.
Right. Oh, yeah.
People cared about Street Fighter again. And what better way to make people care more than to make a movie that has basically nothing to do with the franchise itself? Mm-hmm. This was directed by a guy with a really Polish last name and first name. I'll try it. Andrzej Bartkwak. Yeah, sure, why not? He directed Romeo Must Die and Doom, another video game movie.
Okay.
And but this guy, like, he has a storied history. He's not like some schlocky hack. He's worked on he's been a DP on a ton of movies you probably have seen, like Speed, The Devil's Advocate, Dante's Peak, Falling Down, and Twins. I did that on purpose.
Is that because it has an exclamation point in it?
No, anytime you say twins, you got to go, twins!
Twins!
Yeah, sorry.
So are you saying that all this talent rubbed off on him?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe he just kind of failed his way upward or something like that.
That's not the same thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That winter storm's looking mighty nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. He should know what he's doing. And I think the directing on this movie is not the part that is the worst about it.
I think it's just the Street Fighter name.
Actually, the editing is the worst thing.
Yes,
every
we can blame the editor.
Every transition is a dissolve. It's just like fade in, fade out. Like, I do that with my YouTube stuff because I'm a hack. Well, I have no idea what I'm doing.
But
I'm not a professional editor. They actually had someone in Hollywood whose job is to edit films and make things interesting, who's just like, yeah, let's just crossfade. Even like with a dramatic moment. Like,
it's supposed to suggest the passage of time.
Do you know who the editor on this movie was?
No.
A little guy named iMovie. He put it all together. Okay. And So let's talk about a few other things. So this movie cost $50 million to make.
That's ridiculous.
And it's all on the screen.
That's ridiculous.
From the production design to the amazing costumes, the CGI fireball.
That's actually a really inexpensive movie these days.
It is, but every single shot reeks of Vancouver, where everybody goes.
Yeah. If someone told me, hey, this is a new sci-fi original, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, be like, oh, yeah, I totally see it. That's not bad for a made-for-TV movie.
And just about the only time, I think, where they pretend to be in an Asian country, it'll be shot within an office building with a green screen window in the back.
Yeah. And like a parade dragon going by the window, so people know where they are. One second.
Goku in a cloud.
Yeah, Goku always has to be in the background.
The way they had the gong sound effects was really helpful too.
It was also distracting, but I don't make movies, so who am I to judge? Okay, so I want to. Okay, you say this is not in a lot for a movie, but the people that they hired for this movie are basically nobodies. I mean, they're TV stars.
They got Michael Clark Duncan, man.
I
guess he's the biggest star.
I felt bad because I was like, man, whoever they got as Balrog, he looks kind of familiar. I think he wants to be Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, wait, it's Michael Clark Duncan. And this is really sad because this role is for him kind of what M. Bison was for Raul Julia. It's one of the last roles of his life.
That is terrible.
It made me really sad when I realized that.
So, great that we can start an urban legend about any Street Fighter movie will kill
someone will die.
Or their career will. So let's talk about who's actually in this movie.
Neil McDonough is a great I think he's a great actor.
He is great.
He plays Irish M. Bison.
Yes. Why?
That's what I'm saying. This movie was destined to be something else.
That's Pagan Min. It's the villain of Far Cry 4. Well, years in advance.
I think that's much better in Far Cry.
That's I have a dumb bias, personal connections to the Street Fighter characters, obviously, through my employ. But nothing hurts me more than when they open their mouths. I cannot stand Street Fighter characters talking, having backgrounds, motivation to do anything other than win a round. I cannot stand it. They're wonderful caricatures, and it makes me makes me respect Bill Watterson. Like, those characters never talked. Now they have nothing. Nothing embarrassing has happened to them.
Right.
They've been pure characters that represent what they are. And every time a Street Fighter character opens its mouth in anything, it's awful.
Yeah,
and it's awful. If you think of this as a script that was written for something else, and Street Fighter characters were shoehorned in, it makes all the sense in the world.
That's what I think actually happened.
I thought that's what happened with the '94 movie. Oh,
I'm gonna say I downloaded the Street Fighter anime.
Okay.
To watch and compare to this, and it's pretty bad, especially because I saw the English dub.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, I feel like, okay, a lot of this makes sense with the context of what I know of these characters from the game.
I think, but what makes a great Street Fighter game is these. What's better to me is outlandish character designs. And the second they stand next to one another, it looks absurd. It doesn't make any sense at all.
I would have appreciated it if they actually had costumes. They are dressed very blandly in this movie.
When Chun-Li actually got into the action, she was wearing blue. That's something,
it's like,
right?
She was. Like, she had a sweatsuit.
And, but there, in this movie, there is nothing worse than when they try and present the Street Fighter IP accurately.
Yeah. Because
that spinning bird kick is like the most embarrassing GIF.
You only get one.
You only get one. And it's awful. It is incredible.
I like how they brought in a little pendant with a spinning bird in it to really drive the point across.
Oh, I missed that, man.
Yeah. That was the whole point of that little pendant with the bird inside.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like,
okay.
The random middle-aged guy, not the old guy named Gen, but the middle-aged guy.
You just thought it was some really Ballin' Mockingjay merchandise?
Yeah, it's like Hunger Games.
Yeah, he gives her
spoilers.
This pendant, and then when she does the spinning bird kick in combat, it cuts to the pendant, and it's sitting still, but the bird inside is spinning.
It really should have been like
she's doing a spinning bird kick.
Shouldn't have been like a Matrix shot where they zoom in on her face and she winks at you, and then it zooms back out? It's like, get it? Well, I didn't get it.
Okay, real quick, I want to go over the casting of this. You talked about Neil McDonough. I don't know who he is.
He's great. I wish I had something better to say that he's in. I just recently, for some reason, watched the Sci-Fi Channel Tin Man miniseries. He plays the Tin Man.
So we learn about the Tin Man's tragic
God,
past.
He's one of those manly actors you can never really place.
Right.
When you got to play a stone cold man, a guy who likes drinking and does his duty and speaks very frankly, you get Neil McDonough.
And who looks just a little bit like a baby.
Yes. Yeah, he looks like a gray-haired baby. It's perfect. He's a pure man, and he's been great. I just saw him in a new trailer. I'm trying to remember from what. He was playing the bad guy. Oh. I'm terrible at this.
Yeah, I haven't even seen him that much. Like,
yeah, so. I haven't either.
I will look him up on IMDb.
I do, okay. So they made him Irish, M.M. Bison, because this guy is super Irish. He's got a really thick Irish accent. I kind of appreciate that in a way, even though I don't want M. Bison to be Irish, because it's weird when like Schwarzenegger is playing Steve Johnson. Like, my name is Steve Johnson.
He was a Thai baby, though. Like, show him in the orphanage, and he's like, he's a little Asian child.
We'll talk about how.
But everyone like grows out of their epicanthic folds as they.
That is strange. I'm glad you pointed that out. And we'll get up to that when we get to the intro of the movie. But other casting choices: Kristen Kruick,
from Smallville. An Asian-looking Canadian cast as Chinese Chun-Li.
Not that Asian-looking.
But for America.
This movie was like a celebration of Hapas, basically.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
Like, you know, everyone is half Asian, half white.
You know who was originally cast as Chun-Li for the movie? Mickey Rooney.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's got to be a lot of mocap work for him. And he was getting old by that point.
Too many jellickers.
Okay, other people. Robin Shu as Gen.
We're going to get to the
He
best
also
part
played
of the film.
Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
I immediately recognized him. Mm-hmm. And okay.
For the longest time, I thought they were saying Ken. I was like, that's kind of a weird choice. And then I realized, it's Gen.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But he wasn't barefoot. And we also
have... He only has one fighting style.
That's it. And we also have one of the greatest actor names of all time, Moon Bloodgood as Maya. Moon Bloodgood.
She doesn't sound like she was in a privileged family or anything.
No.
Or maybe that's the person who invited me on a vision quest.
Yeah. It's like... Eat this peyote, Chris, and I'll show you Street Fighter the movie. Yeah. So this movie was written by Justin Marks, and he only wrote screenplays for short films before this. But you know what? He apparently wrote a Shadow of the Colossus script that never got made, thank God.
Yes.
And according to IMDb, he's the screenwriter for Top Gun 2 coming soon. Pre-order your ticket now. Yeah. I don't know. IMDb lists scripts people are working on. It's not a guarantee that these things are actually being made.
No, Top Gun 2 is definitely a thing that exists in someone's heart.
Yeah.
I've heard about it.
I have never seen the original.
In a withered, horrible little heart.
And this movie only got an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not surprising. And I couldn't find Roger Ebert's review of it. He was still alive, but I think he was being very selective.
Yeah, I think at that point he was like, I've only got so much life left, and I'm not wasting it on this crap.
That's true.
Like, and God bless him.
He did review the original one, but he did not review this. I kind of wanted an Ebert quote for this because he's always really snarky when he doesn't like something. But I do want to say, like,
Leonard Maltin.
Well, I think that's why we people like us come out and play really hard when there's a bad video game movie, because our quotes are the most meaningful. We're the game experts and we're critics, and we know the additional layer why this is bad. Roger Ebert never would have known. This is a bad movie that's boring. Two thumbs down. And like, here's a billion reasons why Street Fighter fans should hate this.
It's a bad movie because it's a bad movie, but it's also bad because it totally does not do anything with the world of with the wealth of characters.
We haven't even got to the best character of all time.
Who is that?
Is that?
I think you got to mention him next. I know I'm cueing you.
Really? Who? Nash.
It's Chris Klein.
Charlie Nash.
Yes.
Totally forgot about that. He's like the poor man's Christian Bale.
It is astonishing. This is the role we'll remember him for, not the sweet American Pie roles. Or that the thing he did where he slept with his sister in that movie that I don't remember.
Was that the Flowers in the Attic remake?
No, funnier. This Charlie Nash, one, is like the worst Street Fighter character to ever put on screen. He exists to kind of have died in somebody else's canon.
That was the whole point. Like, and they couldn't even get that right.
I didn't even realize.
At the end of the movie, he's still alive, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
I didn't even realize he was supposed to be a Street Fighter character until I looked it up. And Maya.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were both Street Fighter characters. And
Charlie's Japanese name is Nash.
Yeah.
And Maya, so they couldn't decide, so they were just like, Charlie Nash.
Did they do that with Maya as well? Doesn't she have a different name?
Maya is Chun-Li. Chun-Li is supposed to be an Interpol agent who worked with Charlie to take down Bison.
Like,
That's like the whole Street Fighter Alpha story.
So they were
just like, okay, let's have a movie about Chun-Li. And hey, here's a female Interpol agent working with Charlie. And let's not make that Chun-Li. Let's make her a pianist.
Wow. this movie makes no sense. And, I'll go back to your point, Chris, about it being a diehard script or a diehard movie. This movie is an 80s movie. It came out in 2009, but it is an 80s movie. The villain is an evil land developer.
Yes.
And it has like a police story in which the cops have to, you know, go beyond the means of law to fight a guy with ties to like the system.
Well, this guy walks through the raindrops.
Yeah.
God, it's a great line.
And the only thing that's missing is there's no police commissioner that's like, damn it, Nash! You're getting too close to this fire.
Which could have been Commissioner Guile. It could have been something great.
God, I really wish they would have gotten, what's his face
Commissioner
from Family
Zanghi.
Matters. Reginald Val Johnson. Just
break arms if you don't get perp.
You're too close to mission. Yeah. You must get away now, Charlie Nash. You wrecked 80 cars.
So
you take time for glasnost.
I'm saying, like, they should have just went all the way with this 80s movie crap because, like, they're like halfway there. So
Bison burns down a youth center. About that.
Yeah, there's
but they have a dance off. Right, it's all okay.
There's no like, okay, they're closing down on the slums, but there's no like, you know, we got to all rally together and like have a craft arts and craft show or something for charity. So let's like, okay, we're going to break down what happens in this movie. We've been talking a lot about the broad strokes.
Actually, we didn't really talk about Balrog, aside from mentioning Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan.
He is the one character whose role in the movie I like because they turned him into something other than just like the big, dumb, angry, violent black guy. He's a thug. He's an enforcer, but he's pretty sharp.
A conflicted bodyguard of sorts, right?
I don't think he's particularly conflicted. He's pretty much straight up evil, but he's not an idiot, which is a nice interpretation of the character. Yeah. You never see that.
It's probably like a smarter version of his role in the Street Fighter cartoon. The animated series on USA.
The USA one?
Yeah.
That's the one you gotta watch.
Was he one of those characters like, duh, like one of those guys?
Him typing things into a computer with a boxing glove. That is
because in the original anime, Balrog is just like, that's pretty much the extent of his dialogue.
Right.
Well, that's just sensitive.
This is the only other thing I was watching it and thinking of. If you know Street Fighter canon enough, and I don't know a lot about it, this makes way more sense than Street Fighter 1 movie. Mm-hmm. Like the original arcade game. Well, just if you're talking about these weird, obscure characters, like just throw in like Bird and Anna, and like if you don't want to have characters that anybody knows, and you're establishing an origin story, why didn't they just make like Street Fighter a weird ass Street Fighter 1 movie?
Yeah,
because someone owed someone a favor and there was a script lying around.
There might have been a contract somewhere that had to be fulfilled.
That's what it seems like. This movie seems very obligatory, like, oh, we had to make another Street Fighter movie before the contract ran out or whatever.
It's interesting that they decided to focus on Chun-Li as the main character. Yeah. Because even though she has been, you know, one of the mainstays, one of the few characters originally to appear in Street Fighter III even.
I believe in polls.
She's not usually the...
She is, actually.
I was going to say she's not usually the focus of the story.
She's not. She's not. But when it comes to, weird facts working at Capcom that I learned is, that Street Fighter is, in fact, the second most recognized video game IP in the universe.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to see why. I mean, people recognize Mario and those people, and then Street Fighter characters. And when it comes to the characters' popularity, you got Ryu, maybe a dash of Ken, and Chun-Li is right beneath that. Hmm. Like, she is the most recognized. She is the most cosplayed. She is probably merchandise-wise.
No, I get that. It's just, it's interesting that they made it about her and not, Ryu is the poor young boy who knew piano. Yeah. And
Well, Jeremy, that brings us into the intro where you want to start your movie with a bang, so you should have narration and a growing up montage. Mm-hmm. As Jeremy points out, Chun-Li gets less Asian as she grows up, which is
show her in three phases of life, childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. And adolescence, she's midpoint.
Right.
You're starting to see her shed her Asian genes and mutate into a white person.
I wonder if that's a legitimate disease or if their casting was a little off.
You guys, she's half Chinese, okay?
Yeah, I think
they did conspicuously show her Caucasian mother.
Right.
That's true.
But the young girl, I don't know.
Yeah, they look nothing like each other.
And I don't remember her being bad. Her performance wasn't offensive.
It was it was just TV there. Drama yeah. level.
I guess.
Know, what you expect.
But just straighter Lifetime, small though, right?
Lifetime movie with more wuxia.
Yeah.
So the movie starts with this intro, and we learn that Chun-Li is studying the art of wushu with her father.
Wushu.
Mm-hmm. Is that? I assume that's real, or is that made up by Capcom?
I have no idea.
I don't know anything about martial arts.
Again, just put these characters in a 2D fighting arena, and I'll be fine.
I think wuxia is the non-infringing version.
I see. Is it Billy Blanks have the copyright on that or something? Okay.
Or the People's Republic.
So Michael Clark Duncan, who plays Balrog, he breaks in with a bunch of thugs, and he takes away Chun-Li's dad, presumably to die. And I guess this is where we are introduced to M. Bison, not as charismatic as Raul Julia, but he's doing something with this character. I'm not sure what. I mean, I don't know how easy it is to judge these actors based on what they were given.
He's wine tasting the scenery.
Yeah,
not chewing it like Raul Julia.
Raul Julia was just taking big. Just teeth marks in every part of that set.
Yeah.
So we flash forward to the present, and Chun-Li has achieved her goal of being a pianist, and she gets a pianist. A 6-inch pianist, and she gets a mysterious scroll from we don't know where, and then she returns home. Where does that scroll come from? It's not really
real. Yeah, and it's treated so nonchalantly in
that scene. Here's a scroll, yeah.
Where's it from, an admirer? Okay, let's open it. Oh, what?
Open it at the end of the movie.
So to make you feel even more compassion for this sort of empty character at this point, I mean, we barely know her, but already her dad's kidnapped. Now her mom's dead. She's dying of movie-itis. Yes. Mm-hmm. First
act
movie-itis.
Feel sorry.
And then we cut to Shadaloo after we get this introduction
Did we ever find out what happened to her friend from the beginning of the movie?
Her friend
helps sets up the exposition and then disappears.
I don't think so.
They hug.
Oh, you didn't read the expanded universe novel.
That was actually.
I've got to look this up on Wikia.
That was actually Cammy, Jeremy.
yeah.
Brief appearance.
No, actually, Cammy appears later.
Okay. What?
Kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hold off on that until we get to this because I want to be surprised.
Also, fact checking, wuxia is martial arts hero film genre. Wushu is another word for kung fu.
Okay, got it.
We were all right. We were all correct. Mm-hmm.
And Mushu is the sidekick in Pocahontas. Yeah.
And also delicious with the little pancakes and the plum sauce.
So this is when we're introduced to Shadaloo. Shadalao? Is it Shadalao? I think it's Shadalao.
It's pronounced differently in the movie than it is in every other corner of the universe.
Yeah.
Is it Shadalao?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the last Street Fighter movie, I believe it was a country. Do you remember that, Ray?
Yeah,
it was like a country,
It was basically Metal Gear Solid's mother base.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
but it was a PMC of martial artists.
Mm-hmm. And this time, it's an investment corporation, which is a front for organized crime.
Oh, I love our modern.
So Shadaloo is a person now.
Corporations
are people,
Bob. That's right.
Doesn't pay taxes.
Therefore, it's unimpeachable. We should just end this podcast right now. So M. Bison basically gathers his board members in front of him and is like, okay, guys, I'm taking over. This is all mine now. And they're like, well, harumph. And they just get all upset and they leave.
I know. What the hell? I was really surprised. I thought they were all going to drink champagne and die. Yeah. I thought it was poisoned champagne. But no, they pulled a fake out and had Vega kill them instead. Off camera.
Vega? Taboo. Oh, Taboo.
Please
taboo
tell
from,
me.
Please
from
Black Eyed Peas. Black Eyed Peas. I was thinking Outkast. Sorry.
Can we go back to that scene?
Please do, Ray.
What crime lord is that accepting of anything?
What do you mean?
Those guys are just like, okay, you motherfucker. And then they just walk along. Oh, yeah. I mean, and then they're killed, but then, like, what would they have done otherwise?
Yeah, you just hear a bunch of, like, slashing noises off screen. And I'll tell you what, I downloaded the unrated version, guys, so there's going to be some killer gore coming up.
Some amazingly passable CG blood.
Not the craziest Foley in that movie. This is kind of related to the versions we watched. I might have gotten mine through some disreputable processes.
Blockbuster?
yes. Mine didn't have any subtitles for the Chinese sections. Oh. Were those actually subtitled in the
– Some of them were.
Some, yeah.
Okay. Because I was just like
– if you didn't see any, then there were some.
Yeah, there were some.
So I kind of had to guess at the story, but I think I figured it out.
Okay.
It was tricky.
To get you guys up to speed, we've met Chun-Li. We've met M. Bison. So now we're up to part three of our story, and I think Chris's favorite part. We are introduced to the police side of this. Chris Klein. Nash. He is Nash, Charlie Nash, working for Interpol. He's checking out. Apparently, Vega cut off all these guys' heads. So he's looking at the crime scene. He's like, oh, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
He's also checking out Maya.
Oh, yeah. And she's a babe. played by Moon Bloodgood. And I'll tell you, that blood is good, baby. I'm sorry. I'm not actually that gross. Yeah. But she is made to be a babe in this. Her boobs are always hanging out.
I looked at scenes on YouTube. Every single one, she is leaning down to the camera. Yeah, every single one.
It is a real, like, I'm streaming League of Legends on Twitch outfit that she's wearing.
Now illegal.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Okay. I think they made a shirt. They made a bunch of updated shirt rules.
It's like you need two buttons. Mm-hmm. Or at least two buttons.
Just yesterday, I showed my butt crack for the first time on Twitch. Sorry, that's neither here nor there.
Chris, that's not the way to get ahead.
It put money in the tip jar.
Wow.
$2.
So let's go back to what we were talking about. Nash is on the case. He realizes that Bison is the only Shadow Lao member left. And apparently he's been spending years trying to track this guy down. And so we learn that Nash is apparently like he's married to his job.
Yeah.
He's married to his
job.
Tracked
this guy over four continents. Really? You're terrible at your job. My job never paid for me to go to four continents. Yeah. That never happened.
And I feel like with as powerful as Bison apparently is in this movie, why are there only like two cops on his case? Is like Thailand or where
they have,
Hong Kong.
Whole division that are silently working in the background because when the commissioner comes and shuts them down, he comes into the office and no one's there. All those people were the support
staff.
All
those people sitting there waiting for bribes.
I think it was that
they're all working on the Shenlong case. It's more important.
All these people were cut in half. I think it was that Chris and Nash and Maya were the stupidest Interpol officers. So like, you guys go handle this Bison case.
You guys
are
going snipe hunting.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was.
They're Zenigata for the modern era.
So yes, we learned that M. Bison is an evil land developer. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead a bit. So Nash is on the case. Like I said, he realizes Bison is the only Shadow Lao guy. And then Chun-Li goes to Bangkok based on this scroll to find Gen, who apparently is a Street Fighter character. I'm not up my Street Fighter lore, but apparently he's a very old man. And in this movie, he's played by a 45-year-old man, but we'll get to that in a second. And for some reason, Chun-Li...
The one thing they did get right is he's totally a vagrant.
That is true.
That's definitely Gen. He's like a drunkard who lives in an alley.
But for some reason, Chun-Li is living like a pauper. I assume she comes from money.
You saw the apartment she lived in San Francisco?
Yeah.
It's got a view of the Golden Gate Bridge. She had money.
But one of the scenes that was cut out, I do know this. is where she models this entire montage of Batman Begins. That's it.
It feels like a montage from like Midnight Cowboy or something. Like where she's like begging for food and like her tuberculosis.
Yeah, she's like, oh, it's so hard. And then, you know, like a lady offers her food and she brings out this wad of bills.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's really that hard scrabble in existence there.
Like get an Airbnb, Chun-Li.
Yeah.
No, she took it from the other lady.
Oh, okay, I missed that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you don't exactly know.
Oh, that's right, she did.
You don't know why she's making herself destitute, except that apparently it will summon Gen at some point. Hey, just bring yourself to the lowest level and then I'll magically
really
appear and help you.
Is that really the mentality behind it?
Canonically, he preys on hobos.
Yeah.
He runs a bum fights style website in Hong Kong.
So sad that I've seen those.
It was like a bonus stage from the first game.
Yeah. So Chun-Li's living like a pauper. She beats up a bunch of drunks who are harassing harmless bystanders.
I like to think those guys are canonically the thugs from Final Fight.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. 2P was one of them.
Andor.
Love Andor. Sodom? Is that one of them?
Yeah. Well,
he's a boss.
In Japan.
And he's a Street Fighter character.
So. Yes.
Oh, you're right.
He is now. Or an alpha character.
So
that's Street Fighter.
Yeah. No. Wait. I'm trying to remember which one.
I'm sorry. Where are we?
Yeah, he was in the Alpha games.
Because that's another thing that's really confusing about this movie. Because the characters they chose are all the ones that have different names in Japan.
Oh yeah,
so in Japan half of the cast has a different name.
Right.
Abroad.
He's really tickled by
Bison,
this.
Balrog,
and Vega,
Charlie.
They all switcheroo their names because somebody didn't want to be sued by Mike Tyson because reasons.
Yeah. They're credited with both names in the credit roll.
They are because that's how they are in foreign countries. I don't really know, but that was one. I'm really irritated by that crap. You worked there. So, why did you guys decide on one usable name?
That's bothered me too. Like the fact that M. Bison is saddled with a Mike Tyson parody name for his entire existence. It's just like it's stupid.
It is a cool name though.
He should be named after Suzanne Vega, the hardcore deadly music.
Love is a battlefield, is that right?
Or Lou Vega.
No, she was
Mambo Number 5. Okay. Lou Vega.
Lou Vega. A little bit of Bison in my life. A little bit of Chun-Li by my side.
I apologize for reminding anybody of that song.
Yeah.
You're not forgiven.
It's okay. At least no one let the dogs out yet. So let's move on. So Chun-Li fights these drunkards off, and she passes out because she's poor and hungry. And this is when Gen scoops her up, takes Chun-Li back to his crib.
To the Batcave.
To the Gen cave.
Oh, actually, no. I guess it's to the temple at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, it's the Gen loft.
Yeah.
And this is Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat. Apparently, Gen is much younger in this version of the movie. And then we learn that everyone that has a spider tattoo that she keeps seeing is part of the Order of the Web, which is a resistance group that's fighting against Shadow Lao.
Oh, okay. So no Edge of Spider-Verse here.
No. Okay. They look like prison tattoos. I'm not sure what a spider web tattoo means for prison tattoo like lingo.
I think it means sensitive.
Yeah. <That's>
It means I'm willing to talk about my feelings.
Means I'm sticky.
Yes. Emotions just stay here.
Yeah. So this movie is just full of montages, training montages.
Yeah.
We get another one where she's fighting Gen, and we get the beginning of her learning how to throw a fireball, which is going to figure into the end of the movie.
Excuse me, it's not fire, it's ki.
Come on, I'm sorry. The cheese.
And then
cut
the chi.
Yep.
And
yeah, that's something that I mean I'm kind of skipping ahead here.
Oh no, it's cool.
But it's really weird because they tried to, you know, ground this and make it more realistic. You know, Bison is a land developer and he doesn't have psycho power. He's a guy who fights a little bit.
He's got seller power.
but you know, then at the whole thing around her fighting him is to use this magical, mystical attack. So
yeah, it
just
is.
Just have it one
weird.
Way or the other, guys.
Right,
commit.
Right.
Commit.
The winner gets a set of steak knives.
So this is when Chun-Li's powder blue training pajamas come in. It's not quite her like Chinese dress. They never put her in that dress.
It's a little more Street Fighter Alpha again.
Yeah,
she's wearing like track pants.
Like in that. Okay.
Track pants.
She's kind of slumming it doing laundry, I guess, in that game. So, okay, back to Shadow Lao. This movie, like, pinballs back between all these stories because it doesn't really want to commit to, you know, telling you much about anybody. But Chun-Li goes to a net cafe and discovers that Bison's association with the Esperanto Corporation is a front for Shadow Lao. And it's weird. We never know, like, how these people have the capacity to discover these things. Like, is Chun-Li a hacker? Like, how is she putting the pieces
together?
She
read the newspaper.
Used the Google.
She used the Google. Google foo?
She Lycos that mess.
She has the same computer set up that that they used in Mission Impossible, where you just type in a query and crazy things come up. Job 3:16.
And like a laughing skull shows up and it like cracks.
Welcome
Matrix.
To the happy dungeon.
A little window called the search UI.mpeg.
So we have another montage. I marked down all the montage in this movie.
Oh, even Rocky had a montage.
Rocky had a good montage, but these are just all like, we don't want to write words. We just want to, you know, pad out the movie. So yeah,
what do you have against montage?
I love montage.
We have a montage of Bison's security thugs clearing people out of the slums. He is taking over the slums. He's an evil land developer, and Ernest is nowhere to be found in this movie.
No.
Where is Ernest to help us in our time of need? Jim Varney, come back.
I just want to say, I don't know when this is going up. I've just... at great personal expense, my buddy Brett, big closet Ernest fan, bought him the pristine talking doll for his birthday. Cannot wait. I'm going to present it to him on mic somewhere.
Right. Does, wait, like, this is the talking like one of those pull strings?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
that's what my Pee Wee Herman doll sounds like right now. Why did Pee Wee Herman have to love me? He couldn't just say a line?
It was good for his brand.
Sorry,
so we are back to Nash and the lady cop, who's named Maya. At this point, I realized she had a name. She wasn't just like, you know, free to look at. They're on a stakeout.
She's Chun-Li too.
Captain Cleavage.
Chun-Li too. And they spot Balrog. In order to make themselves look less conspicuous, Chris Klein starts making out with her, which seemed kind of a little rapey to me. I don't know. It was uncomfortable.
No, she was into it. They were both like... Well, usually that had to happen. Yes, it did.
Is there sexual tension? I'm not.
They tried to have some sexual tension. It was the cutest little thing. They were like, let's have some acting and some sexual tension. Here.
Exactly. I mean, there was no build up to it at all.
Let's pretend there's
some leering at the beginning, but like,
well, no, because then she like he comes to her house or her apartment and she's changing clothes.
Okay, but beyond that, I mean, it was kind of hollow otherwise.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
once you get to the point where you do,
they're basically
the fake
both like waving their libidos at each other.
Yeah, like. I'm
as
hot.
Much as anyone in this movie can act.
I'm like, just saying.
That part
proper,
was pretty clear.
It's proper the, film.
The B-movie
they're
version.
Not into proper courting.
Okay.
They're it's Interpol. Like, they're living at the hardscrabble edge of the universe.
It's the B-movie version of presenting.
He's hunky Chris Klein. She's sexy Moonblood Good. It has to happen. Just think of the beautiful child they can make.
Together, they fight crime.
I want this Chris Klein role to become... classic, and for him to do nothing but these parts.
I wanted more of him in this movie because he just like there's nothing going on up there.
It is hysterical. It is so wonderful.
Yeah, you're Chris Klein.
At the same time, though, I kind of have to admire it because I'm like, well, you know, if I'm Chris Klein, I was in a couple of fun. He was in American Pie.
Yeah.
It's like fine. Okay, I'm kind of maybe living high off the hog of that a little bit. You know, somebody wants me for a Street Fighter movie. I'll get to hang out in, I guess, glorious docks of Vancouver for a little bit. Fine. I can see the script. I see it's not the most serious thing in the world. It's based on a video game. Fine. I'll play it up a little bit. I'll have some fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get remembered for this.
Carry the weight. He would be perfect as a Batman villain in a Joel Schumacher movie.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's that kind of performance.
Yeah. No brain.
It's great. Like, almost every line he delivers directly at the camera while moving his head this. What the hell? What's going on?
He has a real
turning
to
the camera.
Oh,
man. Is this picking up on radio?
He has a real Jeremy London style acting, like from Mallrats, because my girlfriend was like, is that the guy from Mallrats?
Uh-huh.
Just based on the
hair. Hair similar.
He's got a real 95 haircut, that kind of mushroom bowl.
Yes.
He never let that go. But so we get another montage. There was yet another montage, another training montage.
Ding.
I wish they would have put the South Park montage music over this because that would have made this much better. But we are on another stakeout with Nash and Maya, and this is where they run into Chun-Li. And she's dancing around with some Shadaloo employee, and it's at this point where her hair is actually in the buns, in the Chun-Li buns.
Right. Yep.
And there is a rap song about stuff that features a song, the lyrics Street Fighter in the song.
Nice. Actually, speaking of the... the music that you hear in the movie, my favorite use of music in the entire movie is when you're first introduced to Charlie and he gets out of the car and there's like a kind of for like 2 seconds and then it cuts and then it like plays quietly in the background.
Yeah,
it was like it's slow motion and he's coming out and it's like he's gonna be badass and then
it's like the movie couldn't even commit to that.
Yeah, excellent. Like, okay,
but that's
whatever.
Both
guys.
Of your points for you, like very 80s movies. That is, he did get the Stallone entrance, the star lighting.
But he got 2 seconds of it.
Yeah.
He got a still exit.
Oh, and to your point, 20%. Of all rap lyrics are Street Fighter references. I swear, history will prove me correct.
So for some reason, well, I'm sure all the Wu-Tang clans are, right?
Yes.
So for
and Deltron.
And Deltron, yes.
Can we touch on this henchwoman?
Mm-hmm. Oh, please do,
because,
Ray. Go ahead.
When I first saw the movie, it's like I thought, oh, I bet that's going to be Rose. It wasn't. It was Cantana, who was another made-up character. For
yeah, I kept thinking they were saying Katana, and I was like, wow, that's not even the right fighting franchise.
Crossover.
It's Cantina with an A.
with an A.
But I've decided that I'm going to call her Miss Tessmacher because she is the the lady assistant counterpart to the evil land developer.
Yeah. Hmm. And by the way, there's such a this movie gets so close to a lesbian thing, it doesn't even try because it's a PG-13, right? So it's like,
right.
Yeah. Couldn't even
unrated PG-13.
I think it's interesting that Chun-Li just had the instinct to say,
"Oh, you're right."
I bet that lady would be into me and dance on up to her.
And it's just just dancing. Then you can go beat each other up.
No more street.
No, I mean she goes for a rendezvous in the restroom and then gets attacked. I think Chun-Li's very predatory, actually.
Did anybody see Assassin's Fist?
No.
What is that?
It was I think it premiered a Machinima, but the series of short films.
Oh, that Street Fighter.
The Street Fighter Assassin's Fist. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It came out on a Blu-ray around the end of the 2014. Yeah, so I wouldn't. I had reasons I wouldn't watch it.
Characters are dressed like they should be.
They are, and it's shot competently by someone who really does know for the first time ever, that someone who does care about the characters, in my opinion. That is all I can say.
Besides the anime, of course.
I swear to you, I'd never watched it because I was so biased. Like, why did they let me make a movie with these characters? I had no qualifications to be allowed to do that. No one should give me that opportunity.
Neither did the writer of this movie. So, Chris, come on.
That's what
I
thought.
At least you worked for Capcom.
For that brief period. I was jealous and bitter and never watched Assassin's Fist. No. I admitted it.
All right.
So we are in a ladies' room and Chun-Li and the Shadaloo lady. What's her name again?
Cantona.
Miss Tessmacher.
She fell out of Mortal Kombat, I guess. They fight in the bathroom. It's pretty brutal.
This has the best sound effect in the entire movie when Chun-Li smashes Cantona through the restroom stall door, which is probably made of particle board or wood or something.
Yeah.
And it shatters like glass.
Yeah,
what's amazing. Up with that?
Wait a minute, because I kept seeing those glass bowls at the sink and thinking, man, someone's going to get smashed into that, and it's going to be brutal. And then they get smashed through the door, and that makes the glass sound.
Yeah, I didn't
get
that.
You guys did it in the wrong spot.
Yeah. They missed opportunity.
Well, I think the doors were glass.
That was a glitch. That was
I thought they were kicked through.
A glitch in the Matrix.
A glitch in the movie, yeah. It was a bug. We're going to work that out. The next patch.
My movie wasn't patched yet.
Patch that movie.
I'll say it's valid. But otherwise, yeah.
But that's a wasted opportunity to add just a random character. Could have been anybody. Yeah. Four was out and introduced a bunch of other.
Somebody you'd actually recognize from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Throw some Rose from the jury. Yeah.
They could have called her Sagat, Miss Sagat.
Exactly.
Yes. A Lady Sagat. Oh, man. If the Street Fighter universe were Marvel, that would happen all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it were Kojima, then he would take the opportunity to bare her chest and show the scar. Uh-huh.
So she kicks this lady's butt.
It laughs when she shoots her gun.
Find out when Bison's next shipment is coming. I forget what this is a shipment of. Spoilers.
Yeah,
we find out
exposition.
Yes. We just know where Chun-Li needs to go next to find Bison because Bison will be there or someone will be there, and they're looking for something called the White Rose, which they think at this point is a ship. We're not going to talk about what it is yet because it's a really stupid. It's so stupid.
Mm-hmm. But what is it believed to be at that point? Is it
I don't
her
know.
Dad or something? What's
drugs?
Going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe drugs, but it's the next shipment's coming in. I think this movie was. Doesn't understand that it needs to explain more. It's like, no, this is a movie. People will just get it, whatever. But
it's like the underpinning of Mitchell. It's like, there's a shipment going, what? Huh?
Yeah. So this is when she does a spinning bird kick. We get one Street Fighter move and the whole thing. Maybe later with the fireballs.
Yeah, I mean, she has her chi attack.
Yeah.
I gotta see if there's a gif of that online.
After Super Street Fighter, then it's all good.
Yeah.
So it really kind of brings together the whole Street Fighter ooh.
It really works with the timeline. So this is in my I think this is only in my unrated version that I watched. But after this, we cut to a scene with Bison. The corpse of the lady that was beaten up by Chun-Li is hanging from a hook.
It's
He's beating it. And I think this is really the tone.
Was she dead?
She was dead.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. And I was like, that doesn't really fit with this movie's goofy, silly, fun tone. It's just like they're trying to make Bison, kill the cat or whatever by making him, let's make him do something really gross and awful. But I think it's you didn't really earn that yet, movie. You didn't really earn a
so
man.
Much it doesn't earn, but yeah, especially that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if because mine was, unrated version, too hot for theaters.
I don't know, but I saw it, too, yeah. Yeah.
Three.
I guess they were like, well, we have a few strong, empowered female characters, so let's kind of clear the balance.
This, as a young man experiencing the spinning bird kick, was very important to me as a young man. I'll just say that. So when you I said spinning bird kick, and you said unrated, and I was like, what?
What's happening?
What happened? Oh my God! My little kid dreams come to light.
Kristen Kruick is dressed very modestly throughout this entire movie. She actually.
This clip is on YouTube, by the way, if you would like to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Spinning Bird Kick alone.
And the entire movie is on YouTube, too.
8 seconds.
Wow. And it's weird because I guess we didn't talk about this, but Kristen Kruick, or however you say her name, she's okay, but she is not have the Chun-Li build. I mean, no human being does.
Yeah.
But she is just like a waifish, like a beautiful model type girl. And she is not at all
Kim
convincing.
Kardashian has the Chun-Li build.
She would have been a great Chun-Li.
We all discovered that this week.
Yes, we did.
Also see how well her derriere fit into Homer Simpson's mouth?
It's
the greatest picture on the internet right now.
Okay, I'll let all of our listeners Google that for themselves.
Right.
So back to the movie.
It's a Retronauts Ink of the Week.
I want to talk about M. Bison's epic backstory that is the worst. Okay, so Nash tries to find out who Chun-Li is. Who cares? But then Gen talks about who Bison is, where he came from. He was the son of Irish missionaries because apparently they couldn't get this guy to lose his accent for the role. They're just like, make him Irish.
No,
but McDonough does not have an accent in real life.
Oh, really?
That's what's crazy.
I assume because his name was McDonough.
He added it for this film.
Oh,
that's
what's
insane.
I mean, when you think the name Bison, you think Ireland.
Yeah.
Right.
Majestic Bison rolling the Emerald Isle.
Michael O'Bison in The Little People.
Ah, Michael O'Bison.
I'm glad you're bringing the Irish.
I'm sorry. I apologize to every
actual Irish person.
Yeah.
So what happened to M. Bison? Well, Well, you're right. Chris just showed us Homer Simpson's mouth made out of Kim Kardashian's butt.
Ray,
and it does work.
I peaked.
It does work.
We're good. Yep.
That's adding some much needed heat to this chili cabin.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bison's background. He was a son of Irish missionaries, left to die because his parents were killed or died of disease or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a hardscrabble life. He became a vicious thug. And he met some woman, and he brought her to a cave, as we all do, you know.
Cave of Wonders!
Yes, the Cave of Wonders. let's have some cave smooching action going on here. And his wife was pregnant, so he lays her down and then proceeds to this is a quote from the movie, quote-unquote, transferred the goodness of his soul into his unborn daughter. So in order for Bison to be evil, he needs to transfer his conscience. He needs to put Jiminy Cricket inside of the new baby.
Pamoke!
Yeah. That's what he needs to do.
I've been watching that movie a lot lately.
Yes. So that's what he needs to do in order to become evil. I don't know, how he learns about this.
Okay, but what you forgot to mention is the fact that the process of transferring involves him murdering his pregnant wife
and
pulling the baby out of her womb.
Exactly. And
holding up what looks like a mashed potato.
Was this in your version? Because in my version, when he dug into her, you don't see the digging in, but you see a blood splash across his face. Okay,
And the wonderful Foley effects.
Yeah.
This movie did not earn this.
No,
it didn't.
In any way.
No movie has, actually.
No movie, really.
I can't think of any movie that
No, but it was weird.
It's
just
Lars von Trier or something.
These weird, super edgy touches out of nowhere, a complete, tonal swerve in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I'm telling you, this was probably – I want to see the original script. This was not built for Street Fighter
No. And it's funny, when he rips the baby out of the womb, there's apple crunching sound effect. It sounds like the Foley artist was chewing on an apple in front of a microphone.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
They brought in Mel Blanc The thing is, he had to spit out that apple, too, immediately, because he was also
Bison,
allergic.
What a maroon. you're a real Nimrod.
Thank you.
But I was just thinking about the name of the movie, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah.
There's no Legend of Chun-Li.
No, she...
It's more like... She's almost more like a side story. It's like Chun-Li Gaiden.
It's like the story, the origin of Chun-Li. The legend does not make sense unless you're talking about this huge universe that they may have had planned, which I doubt.
I mean, this movie is actually a tale passed down from centuries in the future.
Yes.
It's been, you know, kept alive through oral tradition.
It's like Beowulf.
So it's called a legend now.
It was a story that our parents passed along through one another via purely windscreens. Windscreens.
And it was also one of the earliest cave paintings, The Legend of Chun-Li. So let's go back to the movie. We learn about M. Bison's epic beginnings and baby powers. And apparently his thugs find Chun-Li, and Balrog fires a rocket launcher into the scene with no regard to his henchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so his henchmen, the henchmen are fighting
Chun-Li.
That's
how you know he's evil.
Yeah, I mean, he has no regard for human life. I'm sure Balrog put his spirit in a baby too, for all we know. It's very popular.
I'll say this, though. That did look fun.
It did look fun, yeah. It reminds me of a scene from Falling Down, which this guy was a DP on. So there you go. There's a connection. So Gen might be dead, for all we know, and Chun-Li is left with his pendant. And then M. Bison's like, hey, Vega, if you're not too busy, you know, hanging out with, what band's he from?
Black Eyed Peas.
If you're not too busy, like, hanging out with Fergie and stuff, you know.
Taboo, which is also a good Street Fighter name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you please.
And a pretty fun board game.
Yes.
Yeah.
By Rare.
Yeah, and a bad NES game. So it's now Vega's turn to fight Chun-Li, and there's a fight. It's not very interesting, and Chun-Li knocks his mask off, and surprise, surprise, he's not a beautiful man.
He's ugly.
He should be like a beautiful, like, feminine, like, gloriously handsome man. Yeah, exactly,
well,
yeah.
I don't think Taboo's that bad looking, but he's not Vega.
He's no Vega, yeah. That mask is protecting
something. There were no sparkles, no long eyelashes.
I mean, it might as well have been Lou Ferrigno. I mean, come on.
This is neither here nor there. Just clicked on his IMDb. He was a writer on The Voice?
Sure.
What?
Why does The Voice have – I guess I don't know enough about it, but why does it have writers? I thought it was a singing competition. But how do you go from playing Vega to writing a reality show?
I don't. That's a good question.
Again,
where's that? I mean, he's in the music industry, so I'm like, can you just write like bumpers?
Dude. Like. Yeah. Wow. The guy from Maroon 5 is a moron and can't speak. We need someone to write for him.
Yeah.
Help him with his articles. Yeah. He needs the difference between the and So where are we in this movie?
I'm sorry. Keep derailing it.
Chun-Li investigates the shipment for this ship called the White Rose. We still don't know what's on this ship or why she's interested in it, but Bison will be there probably,
I guess. As it turns out, it's very descriptive.
Yeah. And this is officially Maya and Nash are off the case. There is no angry police chief, which gets me mad, but they're just off the case. It's like an 80s cop movie up in here pretty much for the most part. And this is when Chun-Li arrives at the docks, and she dodges gunfire because apparently the Bison's henchmen are like stormtroopers with these guns. And they end up capturing her. And surprise, surprise, I'm speeding through the movie, I'm sorry, but Chun-Li realizes her dad isn't dead. So at the beginning of the movie, when she was still Asian, her dad was kidnapped. And apparently Bison kept him this long just to wheel him out in front of Chun-Li again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what was he doing?
That's quite the plan.
Was he
the milk of his operation, man.
Like,
he was the milk.
Like,
come on.
The Harvey milk?
Yes.
Okay.
The milk and cheese.
I'm confused.
I don't know.
Okay. But I don't know, like, he seemed to be in good shape. He didn't seem to be living, like, under torture for the past 20 years or whatever. So Chun-Li's dad is apparently alive, and
was he his accountant?
I don't know what was going on, but he
was
looked
on
like,
a computer.
He was cleanly shaved. He was wearing okay clothes, and
That's how his business was made, by trading and selling incentives.
I see.
That's right. This person will grow up someday to be somebody's long lost dad. Let's hold on to him.
Is that like the modern equivalent of Catholic indulgences?
I thought you were going
to
go for a Game of Thrones reference. I was waiting for
sorry,
it.
Sorry,
that didn't. But that's enough.
I've watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode like 4 times, and every time I'm like, "That's enough."
Boring. That's enough. I said the same thing, and I read the books. It's hard for me.
We can all be snobs in this room. I haven't done either. So what is happening in this movie? Well, Chun-Li is tied up by her legs. Don't feel sorry, Chris. We're taking lots of breaks to make fun of this horrible thing. It's how we're getting through it.
Yeah,
and then you guys have to leave.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah. I mean, you know, value the time you're in here, because outside, it's not good.
That's
outside.
Right.
Yeah.
My time is meaningless. And the Scrooge McDuck of free time.
Jeez.
Do whatever you like.
So you can do some dusting after this, Chris.
Okay.
So what's happening now? Chun-Li is tied up by her legs, and she escapes because Bison's thugs are awful. And she runs through a marketplace, and this is.
Yeah, I like that their idea of attacking her is to basically like treat her like she's riding a swing.
Yeah, it's like
instead
push
of just
me
like
again.
Holding her still and beating the crap out of her, they like punch her so hard that she flies up.
I think just for the sake of describing the plot, we should say her dad is killed as soon as
he's
shot. Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot to go ahead, Ray. Is there more to that?
No,
I'm Is he just like shot her? Is his head twisted off or something?
Yeah,
I forget.
Yeah, basically neck broken.
Gets his neck broken
Bison
immediately.
Breaks his neck
so Bison kept him around for a decade just for that.
Yeah.
Just for that one move. Like,
it's like, as soon as your daughter's here, oh, damn.
That's like, happy birthday, here's a puppy. Oh, now it's in the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Later.
Oh, yeah, and they keep calling her the schoolgirl. But yeah. We all know that's actually Sakura.
Exactly.
Not Chun-Li.
And Chun-Li looks like she's out of school. Or like too, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm angry.
So Maya, the policewoman, should have been Chun-Li.
Mm-hmm.
And Chun-Li should have been Sakura. Mm-hmm. I just realized.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense for they're not. That those there shouldn't have been Street Fighter characters everywhere. Even if they're even if they're a receptionist at the police station, that could have been Sakura.
I work here on weekends and afternoons.
Yeah, no shit.
That's a terrible Sakura, people. I apologize.
Chris actually did the voice of Sakura in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah. Ouch.
So
suck at Sakura.
There's this escape through this marketplace, and all that's missing is like two people carrying a plate glass window in front of like an empty road, and then having it smashed because like fruit carts are being overturned.
Oh,
but...
my precious chickens!
Well, and how do these people decide to fight back?
Oh no, the Mugu guy pants.
These people decide to fight back against M. Bison and his thugs by throwing fruit at them. Uh-huh. So apparently,
in their defense, it looked like some pretty hard fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. They were like kumquats and coconuts and
Dragon fruits.
Ugly fruits, whatever you want to call them.
Bughole berries.
Dorians.
It's weird that like they are pretty much saying...
It's probably just the smell of the Dorians that drove them
that's
away.
That's pretty stinky, I agree. It's weird though that they are willing to kind of like cleanse this area of poor people, but when it's like, oh man, they're throwing fruit, we better get out of here.
Cheese it!
Yeah. That's also pretty 80s.
Yeah, that is really 80s.
Yeah.
All that's missing from this movie is someone accidentally recording Bison and having that played back in front of like an audience that then turns on him. So I'm sad that they messed out on that 80s trope because that's great.
Yeah.
So we have a little more fights and a little more action in this movie. So Chun-Li learns how to throw that fireball. This is like her arc. And I must say, like, as someone who has studied screenwriting, and that's someone who has wasted money on college courses about screenwriting, this movie is like the most like – the template for this movie is the most like basic like go through all the beats, you know, screenplay. Like it's kind of like the monomyth, the epic journey or whatever, where it's like the character is thrown into this new world and she meets a mentor and then she has to learn something to overcome, blah, blah, blah. It like goes through every step. So it's pretty predictable in how it's structured. So that's what this fireball thing is. It's like that is her like becoming whole, like, or gaining her new identity or whatever by learning how to throw a fireball. So
So it really represents the evolution of Street Fighter to Super Street Fighter.
Yes, by using the fireball to substitute a hymen.
It's not just a hack anymore.
Spiritual hymen.
Wait, what?
Spiritual hymen, I'm sorry.
Now this is explicit.
You want to go back
in the wrong direction?
You want to go back?
Yeah.
I was trying to be nerdy, not explicit.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like Jeremy's joke better.
Yeah. You know what? That joke is retired. I'm
Jeremy just got right joke jacked.
All right.
Next crowdfunding endeavor, we'll bring it back out. It'll be a stretch goal.
More hymen jokes.
Yes.
So Chun-Li arrives at Nash's place because they need help in finding Bison and tracking him down. And they're now everyone is now working outside the system. Like everyone is now just like, the system has failed us. Bison has ties to it through his Esperanto Corporation.
Esperanto.
How stupid is that? And my only notes for this, which I don't remember, I watched this movie last night, but it's like, and then there's a bomb and a shootout, but who's shooting who? Both sides are dressed identically. So there's like two sides and they're shooting each other.
Yeah, I tuned out.
It's like, they should have had like Civil War colors or something like that. Like,
there's a great moment where some dude in one of the guys in a balaclava is about to kill Chun-Li and Charlie shoots him and she turns and they share this really long moment of eye contact in the middle of a gunfight that
weird
really just saps any sense of action and pacing that whole gunfight could have had if it were even fairly competent.
You're right. And just like the first Street Fighter movie, there is way too much gunplay in this one. I mean, like, too many henchmen with guns.
Hey,
I feel like
that's Rolento's role.
Exactly. If you need
summon it, it's totally canon.
A militaristic thug. Yeah. There was a Rolento.
There's
available.
Even the final battle even takes place with a big rod like object.
I think I saw
that was the Rolento reference.
I
right
remember
there.
Being angered by that.
I think I saw Stryker from Mortal Kombat in the background.
Bison should have been Rolento.
Yeah.
And then the sequel should have been the real Bison. Coming out from the shadows.
See?
That's how you do it.
Graduate from
Man, birth. I just made this. I'm making this movie
you
awesome
did. I'm just
going to
give you $5 just for doing
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. You're no Polish guy, Jeremy,
it's
whose
true,
name
I'm
I don't
not.
Know.
My grandfather did sometimes call himself an old Polak, though. Does that count?
Yes, but only he can say that.
Yes.
he's earned it.
That is his word.
Yes. So what else is happening in this movie? Well, things are winding down. Balrog and Gen have a fight. Gen gets his ass kicked, and there's this weird thing that happens where Balrog kind of has like a Terminator death, where he's like frozen to death or something. I don't know. Like a canister of nitrogen is like spilled on him, or like Gen like sprays him with some kind of thing, or stabs him with a pipe that's full of, I don't know. Do you know what happens in this movie, Ray? I can't tell how he dies.
I honestly kind of tuned out.
But does he die? That's usually one of those devices that allows the person to be brought back later on.
I'm pretty sure he dies because another important character dies, and we'll get to that soon. But I think he does just die. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's impaled with this pole that's sprouting like nitrogen, liquid nitrogen.
The adamantium hardens inside of his body.
Yeah, cauterizes
out as a final
instantly.
Tier.
And that was good for Michael Clark Duncan because he was about to walk that green mile. So yeah. He got out. He got out the easy way.
They thought some steam bowed on.
What else is happening in this movie? Well, Balrog is probably dead. Chun-Li finds out the White Rose is Bison's daughter, who looks a lot like Taylor Swift in this movie. And this is her only role, so it could be Taylor Swift in a stealth role.
And her name is Rose. That's a Street Fighter reference.
It could have been.
But
is
not.
And Rose in Street Fighter is kind of like the inheritor of Bison's psycho power.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. But that's also a Cammy reference because Cammy's full name is Cammy White. And she's also kind of Bison's daughter.
Protege.
So they sort of rolled two characters into one character doesn't quite fit either way.
God, there's that. Yeah, I'm glad you guys know about Street Fighter lore because I really
it's
don't.
So
outside of the first game. I know what everyone is, why everyone is there in the second game, rather. But I don't know, like, all this stuff you're talking
somebody
about.
Somebody told me a long time ago that Dalzim hates Balrog because Balrog punched one of his elephants to death. And I've been I read it. I found that somewhere in a message board. And I'm like, can I just see the material where this happens? Because it seems hilarious. If this happened in a comic, just Balrog one shot.
Yeah, it's that out. Or, yeah, he ate all his curry.
And if you haven't seen the Street Fighter comic, like the original, they're violent.
The Malibu comics?
They're incredibly violent. And like, I think people get scalped.
Are you talking about the one where like a really badly drawn Chun-Li and badly drawn Ryu like make out?
Wait, did that happen? It should have.
In one of the Malibu comics.
Somebody's been looking at my DeviantArt profile.
But there was an old manga one from like Tokuma comics.
Street Fighter lore is ridiculous, partially because nobody at Capcom they just give approve things.
And there's no I assume there's no like Street Fighter 2 Bible, like this character is like this. And I mean, Capcom,
There is. It's just, but not maybe not in the past. Not enough as should have been early on.
Well, I mean, I like Capcom games, to be fair, but their lore between games is the most confused mess, like especially like Resident Evil, where try putting those pieces together. You can't. I mean, everything is an interquel.
It's awful.
There's there's no timeline.
Also because you're talking about fighting games where you have dozens of different characters who all have their own story.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the time you got to Street Fighter Alpha 3, you have one of the endings, which I'm pretty sure isn't canon, where Blanca and Dan, don't they, like, try to blow up Bison's Island or something? There's some really weird endings.
I don't think those endings ever mattered until they wanted to introduce DiCaprio. That's the only place she was introduced.
Now that you mention it, I think Chris Klein is Dan in this movie. Isn't he like basically playing Dan?
That would be pretty great.
I mean, he's
a buffoon,
like the buffoon role.
I could see him.
No, he's playing
fist
Charlie,
in the
except he's such a failure. He doesn't manage to do the one thing Charlie is supposed to do, which is get killed by Bison
and wear a life jacket.
Yeah, strangely enough. So, a lot of stuff is happening in this movie. I'm sorry if we're losing it here, but so we find the White Rose, who's Bison's daughter, who has Bison's soul, because that is a thing that can happen, and she is his only weakness. She is the glowing weak point in the Bison Empire. And
Chun-Li holds her sword up, and she follows the beam of the sword.
And she rides Chris Klein like a horse.
And my kick.
So What happens next? Well, Gen finds Bison's Model City because every villain in an 80s movie needs like...
A school for ants.
A school for ants. What's that for? Okay, I'm just imagining like Mr. Burns stomping on the Springfield like town in front of him. But like I think even M. Bison from the 94 movie had like a little model city of like this is Bisontopia. This is the shopping mall. This is that. This is that. His was more of like a capitalist like weird like amusement park idea. But this guy, I just think he just wants to. I don't know, build high rises. Like, he's just like boring everyday evil. Yeah. That's happening in San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, need this in a movie.
He's probably here right now.
Yeah. It's like, yes, build Twitter right there in the slums.
Start up with stock options.
So Bison was ahead of the curve there in terms of like tech culture, I guess. So what happens next? Well, Gen finds Bison's Model City, like I said. Then he fights him. Nash rescues Rose. And then Gen fights Bison again. And Gen gets his ass kicked again. So Gen gets his ass kicked by Balrog. He kills Balrog. And then he gets his ass kicked by Bison. And then Chun-Li fights Bison with a pole because that's what she does in all the games, right? Yes. She's a pole fighter, right? She
built off Darth Maul.
Yeah, yeah. Duel of the Fates was playing in my head as this happened. And, all right. So Chun-Li defeats Bison. I wish everyone in this movie just like – I wish the movie was happening as normal and then just like a tsunami came and everyone just was taken away and the credits started rolling.
Ending, they were
suddenly
all
a sarin gas attack hits and everyone dies.
It was too bad. It was for the best.
They all died of diabetes. Exercise every day, kids.
So Verb, it's what you do.
Chun-Li
like
died
that.
On her way back to her home planet.
So Chun-Li drops sandbags on Bison like this is freaking Marty McFly and Back to the Future taking out Biff's henchmen. And then after she stuns him with these sandbags that are hanging around for some reason, she uses her CGI fireball, which they've been foreshadowing for the entire movie. And then after knocking Bison out, she twists his head off almost.
No. She twists it backwards.
Twists it backwards with her legs, which feels like that's – I don't know. Like – I don't know. It doesn't.
That's
like,
more
I guess,
of a dead or alive kind of thing.
Yes.
Wrong fighting franchise.
Kick ass for the Lord.
Well, that's like something Chun-Li in the 94 movie almost did.
Yeah, I feel like this
tried to do.
The character is too sweet fundamentally and too like in it. Like she's not going to sink the Bison's level, but then she does.
Mm. I don't know. She lives on the street, you know, in poverty for like 3 days. It changes her. She comes out on the other side a different person.
Everybody living on the
gives
street
her an edge.
Has the power to put their soul in a baby, just so you know. So watch out for that if
I'm
you're
from
visiting.
The
So yeah, Bison is dead. Nash lets her go because he's totally cool with extrajudicial murders. And Maya is fine. I guess something happened to Maya.
Moon Good.
Mm-hmm. Blood Moon Good.
Was there that bomb thing that happened that hurt her?
There was a bomb that happened. It was just so, like, she's barely in this movie.
Behind the scenes, she impregnated a baby with her soul, blah, 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 horcrux, we're fine.
So many souls are flying into so many babies behind the scenes. God.
All those production babies, you better check them. There's no telling.
So the final thing that happens in this movie is that Gen shows Chun-Li a paper that says Street Fighter Tournament in Impact font. And it is so irritating because in the last minute of the movie, he was like,
it's not a real tournament. It's a meme.
It's a meme.
There's like a doge behind it or something. But here's the
very
thing.
Very street. So fighter.
Yeah. This should have been the movie to begin with. This should have been the premise for the movie to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're showing it to us in the last minute. And he's like, hey, wouldn't this be a good idea for a better movie that you could have watched?
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, I really feel like they're trying to set up the next movie. Like, it's like, you're not going to believe this Super Mario Brothers movie moment where it's like they immediately set up a sequel. But Chun-Li's like, nah, I don't want to do that. Like, she fundamentally rejects the idea of being in a tournament, which is
she wants to go back to being a young girl and having fun, throw off her
hairband
things, just like in the original ending to Street Fighter 2.
I think even the movie was apologizing at this point. Like, we're sorry, we're not going to do any more. And then she goes back to being a pianist now that she's killed two men.
It's kind of the same, like, oh, bashful, we're sorry, that they did in the fourth Indiana Jones movie where it looks like Shia LaBeouf is going to become the next Indiana Jones. Nah.
And he's like, give me that hat, you piece of
shit. Harrison Ford's like, no.
I think that was not even in the script. Harrison Ford just ad-libbed.
Yeah, he was just like, forget it, kid.
Yeah. I wish there was an after-the-credits scene where she plays Gal's theme on the piano.
Play what? Oh, man. I'm imagining like one of those Looney Tunes cartoons or like Tom and Jerry where Adele seems playing the piano and stretching his arms up and down.
That'd be good.
While like a mouse tries to kill him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, man. I will say, worked at Capcom, I would have to go to those trade shows, and the music for every trailer is a killer. Awful. And then there was one savior, and it was like Guile's theme. Thank God it's Guile's theme. I'm going to get tired of this. 2 years, not once did I get tired of Guile's theme.
Was it Guile's every day, like, Street Fighter 2 theme?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Playing that's every, a classic theme. I think it was a slight remix when for the 25th anniversary box set. But
okay.
It's still, it's a beautiful jam. Sure, the idea that like you can't get that in a movie, like there's probably some super boring score, maybe like a song by Haircut 100, and you could be using the Street Fighter music the entire time in this film. Maybe orchestrating it, that would be nice. And they didn't, I'm guessing.
Was that one of the pieces Yoko Shimomura wrote for?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Back when she was known as like P-chan or something? I'm serious.
No, that,
or,
was
like,
that was the pig in Ranma One Half.
She was known as something like P-something, I forget. But so this movie, we have to talk more about this movie because no, it's fine. I mean, I love tangents, but like I don't know how to feel about this movie. It's so bad, but it's not bad enough to be good. I want more Chris Klein. I can't recommend that anyone watch this because it is just it's like I said, it is like the stock movie formula. It is like the script that you've seen in the 80s.
See just because the original Street Fighter movie, I was maybe 13, 14 when it came out. It was incredibly painful to watch. It made me mad. And it did take 20 years, and like now it's really fun. It was a bad movie for weird reasons. It wasn't fun for 20 years.
True.
Maybe this movie will reach it. I don't think it will because there's not as much going on.
No, there's no camp to it.
I don't think there's enough camp to
it. Yeah, there's no Jean-Claude Van Damme barely speaking
Raul
English.
Raul Julia was a genuinely talented actor genuinely realized like this movie that I'm in is a piece of stinking crap. So let's just play with it.
My
let's
kids
have fun.
Like this franchise. I'm going to do – God, he put so much effort into that role, Raul Julia.
Oh, yeah.
Hats off to him. Yeah. Hats off to him. Adam Sandler Values on Netflix now, please, people.
Oh, yeah, he's great in both of those movies. Yeah. I'm sure those aren't like what he wants to be the highlight of his career, but man, they're
Spider
fantastic.
Woman, fine. It's not a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It'll do.
Or Overdrawn at the Memory Bank.
Overdrawn at the Memory Bank.
Yes. But, so, yeah, no Raul Julia. And like you guys were talking about, this is not campy enough.
Yeah.
The actors are just very boring, except for Chris Klein, who doesn't get enough to do. Ugh. Kristen Kruick, she is just very like CW network bland, which explains why she's on the
she's
CW
a presence.
Network. Yeah,
she is there.
She's a conduit through which a screenplay can shoot words out into an audience.
She was possessed. She's the baby that the screenplay possessed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the man who wrote it is pure evil then, is what you're saying. Yes. Okay.
I have a feeling with time it might be entertaining, but there really is no reason to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
The only reason is Chris Klein.
Chris Klein. Like, and all that's on YouTube. Yeah. Somebody cut together some, like, Evanescence scored, like, all Chris Klein scenes. They're great. It's four minutes. You're done.
Yeah.
The bomb scene, that was, like, his big hero moment. He ran out of the police station at the very end of the group trying to escape.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown by the explosion, but he's okay.
I love that.
Okay, someone was running from an explosion in this movie.
I love it when an explosion throws someone to safety. We call that the Tom Cruise principle.
The obvious jump.
Doesn't matter where they land, really.
Chris Klein does not run nearly as well as Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
No one runs as well as Tom
Cruise.
Too
lanky. We're going to practice after the show. I think I can perfect it.
Above all, though, I want to know like where this movie came from. It just seems like
I should have had more information.
A bad idea. I know, Chris, you're not privy to that. You joined the company afterwards.
But I could. All I had to do was ask. It's just nobody said anything.
Right.
Ever. Yeah. And I was never curious enough to ask.
There was no Legend of Chun-Li poster hanging up anywhere?
No. I have a feeling. But I have a feeling certain things happen when you work at a company like that that no one's at fault but is the bearer of great pain. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are a couple things that happen with Street Fighter characters that every time I like see them, like, ow, like my heart starts to hurt and I remember the pain they caused me behind the scenes. But I do love these characters. And I'm telling you, wasn't mentioned. So like I have a feeling no one was really happy about it.
Yeah.
But then you lose a certain amount of control when something's filtered over into the Hollywood system.
Yeah, and there are a lot of fingers in this pie. Like there are like four production studios, including Capcom's name on this, and I don't know. Like
and a bunch of executive producers who I don't ever speak to.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling either
next time I interview Keiji Inafune, mm-hmm. who is one of the executive producers on this movie, I will ask him about this movie.
Oh, he was still at Capcom then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'll ask him, how did this happen? What was the idea?
That would be your last interview with Keiji Inafune then.
Maybe.
And there was –
he likes me right now. We'll see what happens.
It'll go down like this. Somebody decided they could make money on Street Fighter and did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But they didn't make money on Street Fighter because this movie cost $50 million and made 17 or something like that.
There's a high probability no Capcom money went into this movie whatsoever. Received money for someone to make a movie.
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I hate this kind of language, but this movie is off-brand, you know?
Yeah,
No one looks like how they're supposed to look. the story isn't like the story in the game. And I know you have to make some concessions to make something from a movie into a game, but you're not giving people what they want. People showing up to this movie aren't just showing up for a karate movie or an action movie. Yeah. They know they're going to see Street Fighter. They're going to see characters they want to see.
When I was at the
Bob,
company,
they got a spinning bird kick.
When I was at the what company, Assassin's Fist is the product that came out, and I think that shows you what it's like when people are involved who people are actually involved from the company.
Yeah.
The problem is finding that delta between people who care about the property and people who have the talent to actually create a decent movie.
And people who want to
in this case.
The property.
This movie missed out on both of those.
Yeah.
But the ideal is, you know, that rare intersection between those two things.
Hmm. Here's what was on brand, the Street Fighter logo.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
And for the credits, I want to say, like, it was the first time I saw the Capcom logo in the credits. We'd seen Resident Evil has based on the characters created by Capcom, but it was the first time the logo was there.
Oh, that logo's at the beginning of the movie, too.
Exactly. Yeah, and, like, that, like, now when you see, last time I went to Japan, I had the distinct pleasure of seeing the movie Battleship 800 times. and it's so jarring in the beginning of that movie, directed by talentless hack. Brought to you by Hasbro logo. Big Hasbro. It's so jarring. And, like, I hate it so much. But Hasbro.
Based on the boring game.
Yeah.
Here's a boring movie. Anything that made this movie better is my question. I mean,
I think there's a lot of fun to be had.
Bob, have you not been listening to me for the past hour? I've come up with so many great ideas.
Well, I want us to sum up these ideas at this point.
Because we talk about, like, the interesting idea this movie presents for a sequel.
Let's not make Bison an Irish abortion doctor.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Right.
Let's start there.
It's an abortionist.
That's true. He's not really – he's more like an abortion shaman.
Right.
I think you can get one Karate Kid / Bloodsport ripoff movie out of the Street Fighter franchise.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to move on to, like, whatever Assassin's Fist is doing, exploring, like, mystical lore and all that gobbledygook that I really have very little stomach for. I like these characters being fighters in a universe where they fight. And that's it. I don't
Like, that didn't happen in 94 either.
No.
It's just like, well, we know that those movies sold, at least on home video.
Yeah.
Why not pursue that?
I can't remember the anime of, like,
Street Fighter
all this,
B.
All this weird crap is going on. There's one, like, cutaway to, like, Blanca and E. Honda in the middle of arena. I'm like, yes, this is what I want to see. And then it cuts away immediately.
Yeah,
and that's the last you see of those characters. Like, that's all I wanted.
And the rest.
I'm fighting in Vegas. But, yeah, I think if you were – if somebody who really knew the characters well, it'd be really nice to see them cast as spies and warlords and master criminals. But this, again, I have a feeling it was shoehorned into an existing script. It had to have been, right?
I think so.
Because there's so much of it that presents itself like a modern, just like crappy midnight Cinemax movie where the comeuppance is – and then the mystical Street Fighter stuff is added in. Does it really matter? All in all?
No, for the most part, it doesn't.
No,
I mean, the whole mystical thing, like, okay, so Rose was where Bison kept his guilt, but she doesn't really have anything to do with the movie. Like,
no.
The victory over Bison at the end has nothing to do with the fact that
they find
Rose.
Her, but it doesn't have it's not like
they don't, like, torture her or like put their hand on her head and make all of her guilt fly back into Bison's soul or something.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
It's just like, they're watching and she gets to watch her dad get killed.
That would have been better.
I'm not the only one who's coined these. But the biggest offense you can make as an entertainment property is be boring. And to be unremarkably bad is like the biggest sin in the universe you can commit. Unremarkably bad. It's just boring. Boring.
That's how I would define this movie. I wish it was as fun to watch as the original Street Fighter movie, but it's
in the
it's
words
not.
Of the Apostle Paul, if you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you from my mouth.
Wow.
Is that a real Bible quote?
That's
that
Bible,
is a real Bible
trivia
quote right there.
For all you kids out there.
That was great.
Collect them all. That's part of this new season. Jeremy will have a new Bible quote every week.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah.
Now I've got
to quote Austin 3:16.
hell yeah. What? Is that it?
What?
It's okay.
Just what?
I got it. All right, I think we're done here talking about Street Fighter before I kick you guys out into the cold and unforgiving wilderness. But
sentry gun.
Okay. You're gonna want to serpentine patterns when you leave. Mm-hmm. Don't be like heading towards one point because it will clip you at the legs. And I can't help you from there.
Everybody, let's grab a hold of each other's waist. That way we can create body heat and a nice little conga line.
I've been playing enough Assassin's Creed that I feel like I can probably make my way through the trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That way.
This place is huge, but all I have are just cans of beans and copies of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. And I've already worn out three of them. So, I mean, there's only 80 left. And I'm saving those for a special day.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about where you can find us. Well, I'll tell you guys one thing. We are being supported by Patreon from all you nice people out there. And so if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/retronauts. And if you give as little as a dollar a month, we would really appreciate it. In fact, if all of you guys gave a dollar a month, we would be driving around in solid gold rocket cars. And, not really. But it would be great if you could give. So if you can give, please do. And if not, we appreciate you spreading the word about our show.
Dollar can feed a starving podcast for a month.
We always say if you can give, give. And if you can give, give what you can.
Yeah.
If you can't give, but there was someone like, I only make $300 a month, and like, don't give us money.
Exactly.
That's fine. That's all right.
I've been poor for most of my life, so if you don't want to give to a free podcast, I completely understand.
Yeah, that sucks. But I love the idea that like 10% of people can make something totally viable and we can support something into existence.
And you guys are making this happen, so thank you so much.
Man. Good feeling. I paid. Yeah.
Your money is keeping me here in the studio. Raising the room temperature considerably.
And sucking the oxygen out of the cabin studio, Jeremy. This is a new studio.
I will say the studio looks amazing. There's been soundproofing done. Mm-hmm. I am very jealous compared to our studio.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys. Nice job, listeners.
It sounds good even if it is recorded in a kitchen. I was surprised that it was recorded in a kitchen when I actually came down for the first time.
When someone forgets to turn the ice machine off, you can really tell.
All those planes buzzing the building.
Mm-hmm.
So where can you find us? We are on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitch.tv, and YouTube as Retronauts, and our blog is Retronauts.com. And we're also now part of US Gamer, so it's very likely you found us through US Gamer. Mm. So please read that. That's where Jeremy and I work, and we would like to keep writing about video games because that's all we can do. Isn't that right, Jeremy?
Yeah, occasionally I write
about myself.
Occasionally I write about TV and movies, and no one reads it. So video games is it.
Please support our obsolete careers.
I'm a huge fan of US Gamer, by the way.
Awesome.
Great job. It's like one of the only sites I make sure to read every day. Otherwise, I'll let Facebook tell me what to do.
It's like, I will go to BuzzFeed again. Thanks, Facebook.
All right. Look at that. Assassin's Creed glitch.
So what else is going on? Please keep the reviews coming. Mm-hmm. As always, they help the show. So if you can't give, just write a review. It'll take you a few seconds, and it helps our dominance in the iTunes network. We need to be the number one podcast ever of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. So let's talk about contact info. You can get me on Twitter at Bob Servo, like we were talking about earlier. I write for US Gamer and Something Awful, so check out those sites. And just please keep subscribing to Retronauts and tell people about it. Ray, where can we find you?
On Twitter, RDBAAA.
Anything else you're working on?
Well, maybe when this is out, I'll have the final issue of Scroll Out. Ooh. But who knows?
So look forward to that, scroll.vg?
Yeah, I'm making it. Yes, scroll.vg.
Chris, where can we find you on these internets?
Cantist on Twitter, but you can find my vocal musings on lasertimepodcast.com. We have a bunch of articles, but primarily I hoist my heart and soul into a series of podcasts. Lasertime, which Ray and Bob have been on, right?
Yeah, by the time this is out, I will have been on a few recent ones.
I think so, yeah.
So if you're not sold on Chris yet, let me ease you into the world of Lasertime.
No, it's just where we – Lasertime is just our base pop culture network. Recently this year, some of my favorite shows, including a brief history of cable television. We tried to find the most expensive everything, the most expensive game, dog, car, house. Do you have any other favorites, Bob? I'm lost. 90s cartoons.
Primetime cartoons.
Primetime cartoons, and we decided to try and find our favorite Little Toons.
That's right.
Versions of popular cartoons.
So all you Yo-Yogi fans are in for a treat. And then Ray and I were on an episode last year for the MST3K episode. So we are all over the Lasertime Network.
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
Super fun. And,
some more than others.
And I'm an asshole who's never done anything with them.
Come on. Terrible. You're not around enough.
Yeah, Jeremy.
But the one thing I want to – you gave a lot of great plugs. And we have Twitter and Facebook and all that too. But what I really want to emphasize, if you're dying and surrounded by reporters, could you just whisper Laser Time? I watched Citizen Kane recently, and I feel like that's the best marketing we could possibly get.
Yeah. That's like – Rosebud was the first viral marketing,
it
right?
It was. It really was. Find out about Rosebud. It's got buzz. Social media memes.
I mean, the irony is that my sled when I was a child was named Laser Time.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those coincidences.
Wow.
That's not a terrible name for like a radio flyer. No,
it's awesome.
It really is.
Was that a half?
Oh, I want to go ride Laser Time.
More peeks into Jeremy's childhood.
But we also have a comic book show, we have a weekly video game show, and we have a semi-regular video game music show hosted by Brett Elston, who's been on the show a couple times, I believe, and a wrestling show, Cheap Popcast. Cape Crisis is the... I'll be quiet. I did all those plugs badly.
It's okay. I support this event or product.
All right.
And I like all of Laser Time stuff. So, Jeremy, where are you? Who are you? And where can we find you?
I'm a guy on Twitter under the handle GameSpite. Also, I have a website called GameSpite.net. But my main work is at usgamer.net, where I tell everyone what they have to do.
That's true.
And I also have a side project, GameBoyWorld.com, where for some crazy reason, I am going through every single goddamn game ever released for Game Boy in chronological order and writing an article and producing a video about it.
What?
Yep.
That seems amazing and insane.
It is.
Are you gonna
it's insane at least.
Are you going to hit post on the final video from your deathbed? Like you're just hanging with yes. Like go like this and touch the mouse?
At some point, I'm going to start rolling a bunch of games into single
like all the
episodes.
All the Mahjong games?
Oh, man. There's like... I've put together the database entries for just this... string of English language tutorials produced by Imagineer. There is no way I'm looking at each and every one of those games individually. You guys get a compilation.
I don't think anyone would blame you.
No.
So yeah, that's where you can find all of us. And what was that, Chris?
I'm just thinking of the project. I want to see how you focus on the Crazy Castle period.
Ooh.
I've already done a Crazy Castle episode.
But which one?
The first Crazy Castle. It's chronological.
Okay.
I'm up to like number 20. I think most recently.
Oh my
Call
God.
Me when you get to Garfield's Crazy Castle.
You were never going to finish this.
This
would be like your Richard Williams project. Miramax is going to buy it and ruin it.
it's my Thief and the Cobbler.
Yeah, there we go. You got me.
So yes, please check out all that stuff, and we will see you guys soon with another episode. Have a great holiday, and thanks again.